Hello and welcome to the recorded edition of the production notes for the Audio Describe performance of Brassed Off, to be staged at Derby Theatre on Thursday the 8th of October at 7:30 and Saturday the 10th of October at 2:30. Touch tours, which allow you to come on stage and explore the setting, will be held 1 hour and 15 minutes prior to the opening of the show. These tours are free of charge, but if you wish to attend, please let box office know beforehand. The original screenplay of Brassed Off was written by Mark Herman and has been adapted for stage by Paul Allen. Sarah Brigham directs, and the show was designed by Ali Allen. Musical arrangements are by Keith Leonard, with live music throughout the show by the Derwent Brass Band. Your audio describers for the evening are Mo Pickery-Sims and Amy Ford. Brassed Off is a much-loved tale full of heart and humour, balancing grit and wit with a poignant look at recent history. The play is set largely in the small mining community of Grimley. The stage curves out towards the audience, with a set of three steps leading from the stage to the auditorium on either side. On the extreme left of the stage, just visible, is a tall grey concrete building which towers out of sight. The front of the building, which faces towards the centre of the stage, has a high passageway through its centre, which serves as an entrance. There is a small lit window above this entrance. Opposite, on the right of the stage, is a pair of terraced houses back to back, positioned on the corner of the open street. The brick-built house facing us is the home of Phil, Sandra and their four children. It has a brown panelled front door. A window above the door is framed with half-drawn white curtains, and the back of a dressing table is visible through it. From time to time, the front of the house revolves to the left to reveal a small kitchen. The kitchen is decorated throughout with grey and white patterned wallpaper. A row of cupboards line the back wall, with a work surface and more cupboards beneath. To the right of the cupboards is a large fridge freezer, topped with a microwave and an iron. In the centre of the kitchen is a small varnished pine table with two small stools pushed underneath it. The inside of the front door has bags and coats hanging from a hook. Throughout the play, the dark shadow of a pithead tower can be seen on the wide expanse of ground between the two sets of buildings. When we arrive in the auditorium, a dark grey backdrop is stretched across the stage about 3 feet from the back wall. As the action begins, this backdrop is raised to reveal a row of terraced houses running along the left-hand side of the stage, and the roofs of rows of similar houses across the back. The skyline is dominated by the outline of pithead buildings in the distance, including the familiar pithead winding gear, partially hidden in a cloud of steam and smoke rising from the chimneys of the houses. Occasionally, women appear in the space between the backdrop and the rooftops, forming a picket line complete with a lit brazier in an oil drum and a banner which reads, "Women Against Pit Closure," in large black letters on a white background. Much of the action takes place in the street, and changes of location are indicated by the presence of small pieces of scenery brought on and off by the characters themselves. When the miners are in their changing room, two sets of lockers are pulled out from the left by miners in their orange boiler suits and hard hats. Each set of lockers comprise two rows, one above the other. Beneath the lockers are narrow benches for the men to sit on. The back wall of the community centre is pulled out from the left as well, complete with institutional red-painted double doors and a green fire exit sign above. Metal chairs are arranged in front of the wall for the band members to sit on. The band's red and gold banner with a picture of the pithead and the words "Grimley Colliery Brass Band" is displayed above. Other locations are indicated by subtle changes in lighting or characters holding placards. Shane is the eldest child of Phil and Sandra and acts as the narrator throughout. He is 9 years old, slight and with brown hair. He He wears jeans and a t-shirt with a pair of plimsolls on his feet. His father, Phil, is about 35 years old. He has cropped brown hair, is of medium build and has muscular arms. Like most of the men, he wears jeans and a variety of tops. In Phil's case, they are brightly coloured t-shirts. He wears a close-fitted dark blue woolen hat over the crown of his head. Phil plays the trombone in the band. Phil's wife Sandra is also in her early 30s. She is slender and energetic. Her shoulder-length brown hair is pulled away from her forehead and caught in a small ponytail on the top of her head. She first appears in dark leggings and a maroon top with a loose maroon cardigan which swings open as she rushes around. Their two younger daughters, Kylie and Melody, wear bright coloured tights, short skirts and tops. Jim is a middle-aged miner. He has a large build and is bald with dark shadow on his chin. He generally wears jeans and a sloppy polo shirt. Outdoors, he wears a dark donkey jacket with the letters NCB on a Dayglow orange strip on its back. Jim is the euphonium player. His close friend Harry is also well built. His beer belly is hidden by a loose maroon jumper, and he too is in well-worn jeans. His greying hair is sleeked back into a well-constructed quiff. Harry plays the tuba. Vera, Jim's wife, has blonde shoulder-length hair with a sparkly clip holding her hair back from her forehead. She is slightly better dressed than the other women. When we first see her, she is wearing a mid-length brown skirt with a floral pattern top covered by a loose grey cardigan. She wears light-coloured flat shoes. Harry's wife Rita is quite short and has vivid red hair tied back with a full fringe. She is very casually dressed with a check shirt over her off-white trousers. She has red plimsolls. Andy is the youngest miner. At about 25 years old, he is of medium height and slim with short dark hair. He wears jeans and a dark green jumper with a dark waterproof jacket. Gloria is a young, attractive woman, the same age as Andy. She is slim built with long, wavy, dark brown hair, which she sometimes wears up in a neat chignon. She arrives in the village wearing knee-length brown boots, a mustard-coloured skirt some 6 inches above the knee, and a white cowl-neck jumper. Over the top, she has a smart white coat, the same length as her skirt. Danny, Phil's father and Shane's grandfather, is older than the rest. He is in his 70s with neatly cut, thick white hair, carefully swept back from his face. He is slight in build with a weathered complexion. He wears a charcoal grey three-piece suit with a white, spotless shirt. His black shoes are highly polished. When the band is performing, all the members wear the same uniform of black trousers, white shirts and black ties. Their jackets are black with scarlet lapels and cuffs, trimmed with gold braid. Other minor characters wear appropriate costume. The cast is as follows. Vera is played by Lisa Allen, Jim by Darren Bancroft, Harry by Howard Chadwick, Danny by Carrie Cooper, Phil by Jimmy Fairhurst, Andy by Adam Horvath, Sandra by Joe Mousley, Gloria by Saren Sandham Davis, Rita by Kate Wood. Shane is played by Joe Mothershaw and Chris Underwood. Melody by Katie Hathaway and Emily May Stevenson. Kylie by Ava Lees and Eva Waller. And the minor, bailiff and announcer are played by Jack Waring. Other members of the cast include Lucy Mabbitt, Bethany Madden, Nikita Madurata, Sophie Whitebrook, and the production features live music from the Derwent Brass Band. We hope you enjoy the show.